Pat actually had to switch from AT&T to Xfinity in order to get her services cut back on.
I'm about to say you're about to say something that's no longer relevant.
There were several Cowboys players who we heard a lot of squawking about in the offseason and did not live up to their reputation. All right, all right, all right. You are now rocking with the best, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in to another exciting, exhilarating episode of the Catch This Fade podcast. I am, of course, your host, KD Drummond. Find me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. And that is my man, 100,000 grand, the one and only Patrick Walker. Say what's up to the people, Pat.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Catch This Fade podcast. Shout out to all of our subscribers, no matter what tier you're on.
Yes, sir.
If you are on the highest tier, a friend of the program, then by now you've already seen a little bit of the pre-roll, some of the outtakes. So hopefully you're enjoying that and all the benefits that come with being a friend of the program. But if you are on the other tier at $3, that is also equally appreciated. We love you for tuning in. This is going to be audio only for you. But if you follow KD and myself long enough, you know the audio itself is enough to melt some eardrums. So we got a lot to unpack here coming off of week one, going into week two. So let's get to it.
Yes, sir. And of course, we also have, because it's Friday when this posts, it's Thursday when we're recording, Friday when this posts. So we do have the free early preview for those people that are still subscribed to our Audio Boom, to our iTunes feeds, where you get a little bit of taste of which will be missing with the entire rest of the show. So obviously it's a tease, but we like to still take care of the people that might not have been convinced that you need to go ahead and join the bandwagon, help support us. What we do on patreon.com/catchthisfade twice a week. We do a show that we record on Monday, which is immediate game reaction, handing out all of the fades for the week. And then we also do a show on Thursday, which airs on Friday, which will be a preview of the upcoming game. And that's kind of what we want to focus on now as we're moving forward, because earlier, before we recorded this, Mike McCarthy gave his Thursday press conference. And one of the biggest topics of the week, the disappointment in the game against LA, was the juxtaposition of how the Rams offense worked, what we all hoped the Cowboys offense would look like, and then what the Cowboys offense actually looked like in week one. Because basically last year, we gave Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, a mulligan because we saw all of the pre-snap motion and all of the misdirection that he used in the first three games of the season when they wiped the floor with the New York Giants, the Washington Redskins at the time, the Washington Redskins, and the Miami Dolphins. And it was this ultra-creative offense that had the Cowboys moving all over the field, and they just ran roughshod over three clearly overmatched opponents. But they rolled out basically everything that they could think of in those first three games, and then that offense pretty much disappeared for long stretches during the season. It wasn't completely gone. There were stretches during the season where we saw pockets of what they showed in the first three games, but it wasn't their modus operandi. So everybody kind of points to that being Jason Garrett having exerting more influence on Moore, stifling the guy that we heard about, the wunderkind that had written up plays on napkins in high school, and he had entire three-ring binders worth of plays and all of the great things that we heard about what Kellen Moore was going to be. So when that disappeared, everybody kind of just put that on JG being conservative. Now we get to 2020, so everybody expected Mike McCarthy. He kept Kellen Moore on. He said Kellen Moore was going to do the play calls. He was just going to help basically incorporate the West Coast offense into the vertical Eric Coryell system that Moore was running under Jason Garrett. And then Sunday happened, and it wasn't any of what we thought. And we're going to get into those reasons, because I know I see Pat smirking because he's chomping at the bit. He's chomping at the bit to get to this, but
man, it is, the long is and brim.
The long and short of it is that we didn't see the creative offense that everybody hoped we would see right out the gate. So before we get into what McCarthy talked about in his press conference, Pat, tell me again, remind our listeners again, why you feel there's no need to panic about anything that we saw on Sunday night.
Because although the game counted, it was a preseason game. I mean, we touched on this ad nauseum in the previous episode of Catch This Fade. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you go and check that out on Patreon. Shameless plug. But, you know, they didn't have the ability to start April 6th, which would have been 2 weeks prior to anyone else who, you know, any other team that did not have a head coach, a new head coach being installed. You didn't have a mini camp. Now, prior to that, obviously, what comes after the draft? Rookie mini camp. So when we say they didn't have a mini camp, we're not simply talking about mandatory mini camp in June. We're also referring to the lack of a rookie mini camp. Okay, so no April 6th start for offseason conditioning, no rookie mini camp, no mandatory mini camp, an abbreviated training camp as far as padded practices are concerned, which was also completely non-traditional in its structure due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic that scratched the mini camps that we're talking about, that scratched the April 6th start date that we talked about, also scrapped the entirety of the preseason. Cowboys were slated to have 5 preseason games this year. They ended up with 0. You add all of this into this ball of wax, and I'm simply not willing to put too much stock in what we saw and or did not see in week one, because for all intents and purposes, it was a preseason game. New head coach, new personnel as far as both assistant coaches go, and particularly in a unit like the defensive line, you bring in Dontari Poe, you bring in Everson Griffin, you get Alden Smith, and you have to have these new pieces, Neville Gallimore, Bradley and I. You need to see what's going on with Tristan Hill. Tyrone Crawford's coming back. And then guess what? In said in-season, preseason game, you lose Leighton Vander Esch early in the game with a fractured collarbone on the defensive front. On the offensive front, you lose Blake Jarwin after only one catch. Too many variables to account for, and for me, and you know, to then sit back and say, well, where was all of this that we were expecting? For me, McCarthy and Moore, they have a lot to figure out, but they didn't have any time to really figure it out before week one on the field. They were forced to adjust with the lack of Jarwin, and unfortunately, there wasn't much adjusting that could be done at that point. All you can do is start throwing it to Dalton Schultz and hope that his arms turn from Gators to, you know, Mr. Fantastic. But yeah, good luck with that. You mentioned the install attempt on the West Coast principles that Mike McCarthy leans heavily on, right? I think if I'm Kellen Moore and I have all of these variables working against me, I'm trying to figure out what McCarthy expects of me in game. You know, how can I call my plays that I know are going to be successful, but at the same time, give the necessary number of nods to McCarthy's influence on the playbook that I am also utilizing for this particular game. So I think that they're still filling each other out. And that's why what I love about what McCarthy said earlier in the week, I believe it was his press conference on Monday, he said the honeymoon is over. But the fact he referred to it as a honeymoon was perfect. It was perfect, right? They didn't know exactly what they were getting, you know, going in. They had the hype, the romance, and all of this. But now, like I said earlier in the week, let's see what happens when it's time to get home and start paying these bills. The mortgage is about to be due. I don't think it's due in week two, which is, and you know, we'll get to the projection and predictions on the game coming up against the Falcons. I think there's a lot to criticize, and I think you're fair in pointing at that. The lack of pre-snap motion and where was this wide open, full throttle offense that we were expecting. I just don't think that all told, we were going to see that in week one. It just feels like it's more of a week three thing where they just break out and everybody finally figures it out and everybody's on the same frequency. And then we sit back and say, well, holy shit. Well, this is the Cowboys offense we were hoping for, sans Blake Jarwin, unfortunately. You know, pour a little for the homie. Hive, man, hive. But yeah, fair to criticize it, fair to ask where it is. But I think it's equally fair to kind of temper that with the expectation of, hey, Kellen Moore, if he unleashes or tries to unleash in week one, I mean, look how sloppy they were, period. And now you're really going to ask more of a team that's kind of discombobulated and still kind of figuring things out because you have a new head coach and he wants to install some West Coast principles. And then you got CeeDee Lamb. So you got to account for him now, which is something Kellen Moore didn't have to account for. So we're expecting that we'll see more of Tony Pollard. And I believe we will, which is something Kellen Moore didn't do great with in 2019. He was up and down in the utilization of Tony Pollard. But, yeah, you come into 2020 and you're Kellen Moore. You're like, oh, I got these dreams of using Tony Pollard in a big way. And then they drop CeeDee Lamb on you. Like, okay, well, I got to get the 17th overall pick, his targets as well. Lots to figure out. Huge, you know, level of difficulty. For the Cowboys going into September, this is on God mode. It, for anyone who plays God of War, you know, if you've ever been Kratos and you've tried to go through the you know, what do you call the trials of Hercules, the labors of Hercules, this is what the Cowboys are up against right now. It's the labors of Hercules. So we'll see how they adapt. I expect adaptations in week two. I expect more creative play calling in week two offensively. I expect more pass rush. I expect them to get home more often in week two. But I'm not too bothered by the lack of anything, because you know it took a lot for them to lose by 3 points on the road.
I think one of the things that McCarthy harped on, or not even harped on, one of the things that he alluded to in his press conference on Thursday tells a great deal and mirrors what you were saying and something that I took note of. He was talking about basically not wanting to confuse and wear out his players by doing all of the pre-snap motion. He said, when I got off the bus when I was coordinator of New Orleans in the early 2000s, I was motion this, motion that, everything was motion. And he said, I evolved as a coordinator to realize that motion just for motion's sake and just to kind of like, you know, try to confuse the defense can also confuse your players. If you're implementing an offense over an offseason where you don't have an offseason, and all of these guys are just now trying to get used to not just your way of running things, but adding the West Coast principles into what you're trying to do. Adding all of the bells and whistles of pre-snap motion probably didn't make sense. And they also probably figured that, okay, and this is something that I accuse JG of oftentimes of maybe outsmarting himself and thinking that he can keep things close to the vest because you have time to roll it out later. So it kind of counters, I'm working both sides of the coin right now, because I think McCarthy was basically saying, I didn't think that with the time we were given, we could have implemented all of the things we wanted to do with this offense and all of those things that could take people's focus away from doing the core job that I need them to do to be successful. We can probably win without all that stuff, but if I add it on, it's making my job much more difficult for this specific game. But the counter to that is, it's such a short sample size. One game in week one, when everything, it used to be, okay, well, if you got a bye, if you got the number two seed in the NFC, you at least got the bye, and you had a chance to only have to pull one road upset. That's gone. It's now seven teams in the playoffs in each conference, and only the number one seed gets a bye. So the imperative is, you have to get the number one seed if you want a realistic shot of winning the Super Bowl. So having a game where you kind of say, I'm not giving my full effort, runs counter to that idea of how important it is to win every single game. So it's kind of a balancing act. And they didn't strike it. But there was a lot of hope in that game, because as bad, as horrible, as putrid as that defense looked, and they looked, I mean, that was like – you know how when a baby like only eats, you know, breast milk and the poop doesn't stink, ooh, but when they start eating solid food, eating solid food and that really gets that smell?
Yeah.
That's how the defense looked against the Rams on that first drive. And it was really confusing to see them be so inept for so much of the game. But at the end of the game, when they had to get the turnover, they got it. When they had to stop the Rams from scoring, they stopped them. And then they stopped them again. And then even after they weren't able to convert and get the points to tie the game, they stopped them again. The defense had four straight stops against Sean McVay's vaunted offense in the crucial parts of the game. So that leads me to believe that as much hemming and hawing as we all did, and I was front and center early in the game, they turned a corner within that contest. They gave up a bunch of yards. They gave up 400-something yards. And a good friend, Bob Sturm, wrote early. He was like, you give up 422 yards, you're supposed to give up 30 points. They gave up 20.
Assisted by officials. Those 20 points weren't even completely on the defense.
Do we need to rewind the clip?
No, they got to go check that. They got to go subscribe so they can get the other episode.
They got to get that
really dive into that. But I think when it comes to how the defense looked over the first half of the game, I agree that it looked like baby shit. But for me, it was that first newborn shit, you know, that tar, it's
tough. Baby made a poo.
Yeah, it's no. I mean the newborn, like fresh after the umbilical cord is cut.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, you do that first diaper change, you like, what the hell is this?
Are you an alien?
Like, did my wife just give birth to the Antichrist? Like, it's because it's black and tarry, and it's hard to wipe off, and you're trying to, you know, get your bearings, but like that second one. And that third diaper, you're kind of like, okay, well, things are looking kind of normal. And that's kind of exactly what we're talking about here. You got to the third quarter, you know, things started to look a bit normal. Still stank a bit,
yeah,
but it really started to kind of work itself out. So by the time you got to the fourth quarter, now here we are, you know, one hold, two hold, three hold, four holds. And quiet as it's kept, where were the penalties? Like, this was a pretty disciplined defensive effort, yeah, from the penalty standpoint, from a Cowboys team that, you know, has been notorious for not necessarily being disciplined, jumping off sides and neutral zone infractions. And did we see one or two of those? Yeah, absolutely we did. From an over-anxious bunch, which makes sense. You know, you saw one or two, I think one from Everson Griffin.
Yeah, that was frustrating, though. Those pre-snap penalties with no crowd.
Agreed. But for the most part, we're talking about how, you know, they didn't necessarily look crisp in attacking some of those like screens and bubbles and things like that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, penalty wise, they were pretty clean. So again, there's a lot of hope to be had here. But I just feel like it's kind of like what you said, right? So you made a valid point. There's not a lot of time here to start aiming for that number one spot. Okay. But to that same point, there are, like you said, because it's the tone in which you say, which kind of, you know, and they're both right. So on one front, here's the KD voice saying, man, you got to get the number one spot and seven teams in playoffs. And okay, so here's the other side of that with a different tone. Hey, man, there's seven teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? So while you don't necessarily, you got to try your best to fire out of the gate to try to put yourself in position to challenge for that number one spot down the road. If you do have a hiccup like you're having because of everything that the Cowboys are up against going into week one and even week two, because again, they're still working through a preseason mode right now. There are seven teams in the playoffs. So there's still, you know, a good bit of time from that perspective to say, okay. Let's not panic here for all of these other obvious reasons, but here's another. Because there's an expanded playoff this season. So, yes, the road to the Super Bowl is much easier for the number one seed, less easier for the number two seed going forward. But you and I both know the goal is to get in the dance. And, you know, once you get in the party, crash it. Once you get in the party, just crash it. So, for me, based on the Cowboys' talent level, I don't know, and I've never really been comfortable. And this is PTSD from JG. I've never been comfortable with the Cowboys having a one or two seed anyway. I'm not comfortable with the Cowboys, and I know you differ from me in this opinion.
Yeah.
And this is something that we've kind of, you know, locked horns before, you know, over the past couple of seasons that they have gone to the playoffs. I don't like the Cowboys off of a bye. In you know, when the tournament is on the line, it could go either way. Yeah, but the whole, and this is why I actually agreed sometimes with JG when it came to resting or not resting certain players in like a week 17 game that really was of no consequence. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen the Cowboys in years past, you know, come out rusty from those games. So for me, based on the character of this locker room, and when I say characters of this locker room, I'm talking about leaders, cornerstone players like Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott. These are, especially Ezekiel Elliott, he's a momentum guy, right? So the more you, he wants to be fed, period, but the more you feed him, the hungrier it gets. And he's the same way when it comes to week to week. I don't know that if we're going into January that I want the Cowboys to have a week off. I don't – I want the ball to keep rolling. I want the ball to keep rolling because, hey, momentum is a thing.
To that point, and I will concede that point even though I am a staunch supporter
of getting number one seed. I know, because I'm right. You don't have no
choice. Come on, bro. You're right. Broken clock twice a day. Sun shines on the dog's ass. All of that shit goes into play right here.
Put dog shit in the oven. Don't make it biscuits.
There you go. But Mike McCarthy's Super Bowl run with Green Bay, not only was it not without the one seed, they were on the road as a wild card team, and they went into Philadelphia and won that game. Then they went to Atlanta and won that game. Then they went to Chicago and won
crashed
that game
the party.
Before arriving back in Dallas for the Super Bowl to win crashed over the Pittsburgh the Steelers. So I will say that if we are going to go to the promised land, it does not have to be the number one seed, but stats are stats for a reason. And there's a reason why the majority of teams that win the Super Bowl are coming out of the number one seed. The rest, the ability to get your guys ready down the stretch of the season and kind of plan for that and then have the home games.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're about to say something that's no longer relevant. And I knew that was coming. Home games.
Which is what?
Home games. In 2020, how relevant? It's not relevant to the point of being able to say there's a home field advantage outside of NFL officiating, because we just
hold on now, because the Cowboys are about to have 20,000 people in the stands, and I promise you they're going to be do whatever it takes.
Well, you know,
by the time we get to December, January, they're going to have 50,000.
I will concede to that because I've been a staunch advocate of those who identify the obvious competitive disadvantage in 2020 when it comes to, you know, fans are in the stands for the Cowboys, right, but not for the Giants. Fans are in the stands for, you know, the Dolphins, but not, you know, the Patriots, so forth and so on. So I'll concede to that because that's a hill that I planted my flag on. Right. I'm not going to pull that flag up because it just makes sense. So I'll give you that.
Okay. But thank you. So you're saying, hold on. So you're saying I'm right. All right, just making sure. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are tuning in on our iTunes station on the Audio Boom, this is the end of your free preview for the day. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to complete the show. We're going to finish with our stock up, stock down on the players that are moving in opposite directions on the team. We're going to do our Falcons preview for the Week 2 game. Please, I beg of you, if you want this science, if you want this mathematical
fanaticism, let's get it.
You have to support, and we appreciate all of you that are. It's very easy. One cup of coffee a month will get you in on patreon.com/catchthisfade. $3 a month is all it takes. You can watch us on video, $10 a month. I implore you, get yourself right by coming and partying with us twice a week. So we'll be right back for everybody that's already a subscriber. You know what it is.